How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside right here on the T Podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging. Tom Brady, who now lost again, who is struggling. Is it him who is struggling, or is it the offense? More to come on the T Podcast, but not tonight. Some also call me the Conor McGregor of podcasting. Conor McGregor, who is returning to the UFC January 18th, 2020, Las Vegas, Nevada, to fight the cowboy Cerrone at 170. That's right, Conor McGregor is returning, not at 145, not at 155, but 170 pounds. We're not here for Conor McGregor tonight. No, we're not. Some also call me the white Tupac of screenwriting. I don't have anything on Tupac tonight. Also, the King of the Bean, a.k.a. Boston. The man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is entertain the shit out of all of you. Welcome to the T-Podcast for Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. The year's almost over. This is a late post. Going up at nighttime. I had shit to do. Coming off Thanksgiving break. You're here. You saw the title. We're here to do. I'm here to do. You're here to listen, hopefully. To T reviews The Irishman in 15 minutes. The Irishman. Everybody has an opinion on The Irishman. Everybody has an opinion on the length of the movie, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was a classic. Look, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of this movie. If you don't know the premise of this movie, I'm going to get right into it. I got less than 13 minutes right now. I'm about to jump in to The Irishman. Okay. It's well documented here that I am Italian. I am Italian as a way of life that I watched The Godfather on the holidays, mostly around Christmas. Last year, Netflix put out between, I think it was Christmas and New Year's, Bird Box. Bird Box was that weird fucking movie with Sandra Bullock that everybody had to, you know, close their eyes because the demons would possess you. And she's going down the river on a little fucking kayak with her two fucking kids. It was a weird fucking movie. This year, they decided, Netflix, to put out a Martin Scorsese movie before the holidays, before technically, well, at Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving, but before Christmas. The Irishman. Martin Scorsese has been working on this movie for a very long time. It's based on a book. It's based on the man, supposedly, on his deathbed, who confessed to the murder of Jimmy Hoffa. This is the story we are here for. This is the movie that Martin Scorsese wanted to make. That is Robert De Niro's character, Frank Sharon. Frank Sharon is the Irishman. Basically, he said that he killed Jimmy Hoffa. He said he had a lifelong friendship with him, a relationship. He was a hitman. He was a killer. He got involved with the Italian mafia as an Irish guy who became friends with Jimmy Hoffa. Now, Scorsese wanted to do a couple things with this movie. He wanted to make another epic. Martin Scorsese makes epics. I am not comparing this movie to any of his other epics. They stand alone. There's Taxi Driver. There is Raging Bull. There is Goodfellas. There is The Departed, all near and dear to my heart, being Italian, being a screenwriter, being a movie fan, being from Boston. The Irishman, to me, was something I was going to see because it was Martin Scorsese. Also because it was going to reunite Scorsese and De Niro and Pesci. It was also going to bring in Al Pacino. Also had Harvey Keitel. And there was a plethora of other people that were in there. Ray Romano, Bobby Cannavale. There was Sebastian Maniscalco. I love Sebastian. All these people here in this movie. This movie was going to be long because it's a Scorsese movie. How is it going to play out? There's, in the trailer, it was going to be violent. It was going to have some political overtones because of Jimmy Hoffa being the head of the Teamsters. I saw the Jack Nicholson movie Hoffa, directed by Danny DeVito. It was not that good. I remember seeing it years ago. I saw it recently yet again. Nicholson put on a decent performance. Al Pacino as Jimmy Hoffa. Well, I'll get into that in a second. This movie was at over a $300 million budget. Scorsese wanted to do release in theaters and Netflix at the same time. Netflix said, no way. You got the deal with us. You're released on Netflix. We'll do a limited release in certain cities, artsy cities, big-time cities. L.A. got it. They did like a quick little preview a couple weekends ago, and then it went right to Netflix the day before Thanksgiving. This movie, like all Scorsese movies, was going to be long. It is long. It is 3.5 hours. This is tough for me to get into because, like I said, I love Scorsese. I'm Italian. I love all these guys. Let me just get this right off the fucking bat. If this movie was made 25 years ago, I think if this movie 25 years ago was Scorsese bringing together Pacino, De Niro, and Pesci, everybody would piss their fucking pants. Everybody was waiting for this. Everybody was hoping for this to be that now, but we all kind of knew that they were older. We also knew going into this movie that there was going to be heavy CGI. Again, Scorsese, the man who was saying Marvel movies from Disney are not cinema because they're CGI. They don't tell a good story. I found it that he was being a little hypocritical, that he was going ahead and making a 3.5-hour movie where a big chunk of it was going to CGI the fuck out of De Niro and Pesci, and Pacino to an extent. Now, I'm going to get right into the movie. It started. You have De Niro as Frank Sharon driving in a car with Joe Pesci, who is Russ Buffaliano, something like that. It was an Italian name. It's two old guys in a car. They're driving a lot. They got their wives in the car. They're doing pickups. They have a quick flashback to when they first met, bringing the CGI. The CGI, maybe because Scorsese never dabbles in the CGI arena, even with technology so readily available. The CGI now, I know a lot of people are going to be fans of the stuff, of this movie, and some people are not going to like it like me. The CGI in this movie sucked ass. It was fucking terrible. They had to put green contacts, for some reason, onto De Niro to make him look Irish. Okay. Then when they CGI'd 80-year-old, I think he's close to 80, Robert De Niro, his face looked weird. It looked like a cartoon. Pesci, they had to make him look a little older than De Niro. So he started off very old, and then they had to make him look somewhat younger. He looked off. But there is a scene right away at the beginning where as De Niro is telling you his life story, he is in the retirement home. He's on, not his deathbed, he's in a wheelchair. He's telling his story of how he met all these guys that played into the role of what Hoffa were later to be and why he murdered Hoffa. He is old. He's telling the story. And when they're driving the car, you first see him in the CGI. There's a scene earlier on in the flashback where a shop owner says something to one of Frank's daughters, Robert De Niro's daughters. And he goes and he beats the shit out of the guy. It was clearly an 80-year-old man with a CGI'd 50-year-old face because his hand was all gimpy. He could barely lift his foot off the ground as he's stomping on this fucking guy. It looked very weird. There's no way this guy in his like late 40s, early 50s would be so fucking, I don't know, just old and decrepit, and he couldn't move his foot, and his hand was curling in. And my girlfriend and I were like, what the fuck? And I have to give a shout out to her because I had to finish this movie in two sittings. We started it Thanksgiving night. We both fell asleep, unfortunately. I knew I could stay up for any movie. It wasn't that I was in a food coma. It wasn't I was in a wine coma. I didn't eat a lot of food. I didn't drink a lot of wine. I was ready to go. This movie was so fucking boring. Again, it was old guys in the car, old guys in a restaurant, old guys on the phone. 3.5 hours. We didn't need this backstory. We could have had this movie 25 years ago when this book, I don't know when this book was written, but I mean, if we put them together at some point, I guess we had to wait for this guy to confess in the deathbed. I don't know when he did it. At some point in the movie, everybody's dead. He's the only one around, and it figures that the FBI would just get a confession out of him. Frank was a father of four daughters. He left his first wife, went on to a second one. Didn't have a relationship really with his daughters. One daughter in particular, played by Anna Paquin, who now people are saying that Anna Paquin didn't have many speaking lines. The Me Too movement's coming into play, saying how does she only have seven lines, blah, blah, blah. The whole point of their relationship was that she hated him. She knew that he was a hitman. She knew that he killed Hoffa. So they didn't have a good relationship. That's why she really didn't speak to him. She wasn't supposed to speak. I don't know about Hollywood trying to say, or Scorsese trying to say, that this woman, Anna Paquin, was not allowed to speak in this movie. The character was not going to speak much because she hated her father. That aside, De Niro meets Pesci. Pesci introduces him to Harvey Keitel, introduces him to the mob. At some point, they introduce him to Jimmy Hoffa, played by Al Pacino. Al Pacino, Jimmy's Hoffa. Al Pacino's always Al Pacino. Al Pacino hasn't been anyone but Al Pacino since Scent of a Woman. He was blind Al Pacino. In Heat, he was the cop Pacino. In this movie, he's Jimmy Hoffa Pacino. He does not go beyond his range anymore. There's no Michael Corleone anymore. There is no Tony Montana. This is Al Pacino. This is what he's done for the last 30 fucking years now. Unfortunately, his Hoffa sucked. There's people out there saying he's going to get nominated for an Oscar. Look, I'm going to say this right now. I said this to some people. Because of Scorsese, he'll get nominated for Best Director. He shouldn't win it, though. This movie got nominated for Best Picture because they allow 10 movies now, not 5, for 10, into the Best Picture category, but it won't win. And Al Pacino, if anything, is secondary to Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro, if anything, will get nominated for Best Actor, which he shouldn't. Al Pacino will get Best Supporting Actor nomination. Look, this is the year of Joker. Todd Phillips should win Best Director. Joker should win Best Picture. Easily, Joaquin Phoenix will win Best Actor. And outside of that realm, for Ford versus Ferrari, I think Damon will be nominated for Best Actor, even though Joaquin Phoenix is going to win for Joker. It's going to go, Best Supporting Actor is not going to Al Pacino. It's going to go to Christian Bale for Ford vs. Ferrari. I've seen both these movies. I wanted to see Endgame this year. Lived up to the hype. I wanted to see the Joker live beyond the fucking hype. Wanted to see Ford vs. Ferrari. Right up there with the hype I thought it was going to be. And The Irishman so disappointed me. I never felt the clock on a Scorsese movie. I never felt the time limit, whether it was a drama with violence like Taxi Driver, a boxing movie like Raging Bull, whether it was a Departed, a Boston-based movie that was loosely, pretty much based on Whitey Bulger's story. I always go into Scorsese, his stylized shots, the way he shot it. We didn't have that, his classic dialogue. We had overdrawn a dialogue. Each scene felt like they were going 5, 10, 15 minutes too long. It was drawn out. I know he was trying to do a homage to these great actors and put them together and try to get them on screen for the first time ever, all in the same movie. But it was too late. They are too old. This movie was fucking painful. Again, they're going to just give him what he needs to get because of Scorsese. This is De Niro. They will get their nominations. They should not win, though. You never know because the Academy's corrupted. Back to the story itself. As this goes further and further, every scene is flashbacks. Every scene is him, Frank and Hoffa building a relationship. It gets to the point where Hoffa wanted to control the union even longer. The mob wanted him out. The mob picked out a handpicked a guy. It's the guy from Boardwalk Empire. It's that little English guy, Stephen Graham. He's a great actor. They want him to take over because he was Italian. Hoffa did not want to step down. Hoffa did some time for a crime. They put some other guy, Bitsy, some of the fucking name on whatever it was. Fitzy, that was it. Fitzy was underneath. I remember this from the actual Jack Nicholson Hoffa movie. And then they wanted to phase Hoffa out. He didn't want to go. They gave him every chance. Even Frank himself warned him, saying, hey, the mob is going to fucking kill you. You need to step down. Hoffa was cocky, said, what the fuck are they going to do? Blah, blah, blah. Finally, Russell, Joe Pesci's character, sits down with Frank and says, we got to kill him. They set him up. They go to the house. His stepson actually drives them willingly. They, at the end, De Niro says he kind of knew what was happening. So Hoffa's stepson was kind of in on it. They go to the house. They pick him up. They take him to another house. He sees guys setting up. He's like, you know, he's about to get killed. And it's Frank, his friend, Robert De Niro, who puts two bullets in the back of his head and another one as he drops down. Goes back to Joe Pesci, and that's done. The rest of the mob, a couple guys in there, they take his body. His body's not buried in New York, not on the giant stadium. It's not anywhere else. You'll never find his body. Because according to Frank Sharon, again, this is his take. We don't know if it's real because everybody else died and now he's dead. They incinerated the body. You see them take off his body, bring it to an incinerator in a morgue, and they incinerate the body. That's why nobody ever found Jimmy Hoffa's body. And it goes back to him, and the FBI agent still coming to tell him, you know, hey, everybody's dead. Joe Pesci, at this point, his character died. Obviously, Hoffa's long dead. All the wise guys, Angelo, played by Javi Keitel, is dead. And they're like, look, your daughters don't talk to you. You don't have your family. Your wife is dead. You're in this nursing home. You might as well admit. And he still didn't admit. But at some point, the movie left out. The beginning of the movie and the end of the movie, he is telling his story. I always thought from what I heard he was telling to his daughter. I don't think he did. Somehow, some point, that he signed over the rights and somebody made a book out of this. And obviously, Scorsese ended up making the movie The Irishman. The Irishman reunites all the people, all the Italian actors we all wanted to see. Too long, too late. This movie should have been 2 hours, 2 hours and 20 minutes max. These scenes should not have been dragged out. It was great to see them together, but they're too old. The CGI was terrible. It was very boring, a very boring Scorsese movie. The occasional shot in the head, just from De Niro, Frank Sharon's character, saying these are the people he killed. Very little violence. It's more of a political drama than a typical Scorsese gangster movie. For those of you out there who are confusing the two, it's not the typical Scorsese genre. The Irishman, unlike Bird Box was a clusterfuck. The Irishman, though, for Scorsese, for any other director, would have been a decent movie. For Scorsese standards, this was a flop. This movie sucked. It was painful to watch. It was too boring. I am more upset than seeing this movie than anything I've seen in a long time because of what all these actors and what that director means to me. The Irishman, I do not recommend it. Everybody's talking about it. You may want to have your own opinion about it. So go ahead. I am doing two movie reviews this week. Tonight, when you listen, on December 3rd, you will get The Irishman, my take. You just heard it all. I spoiled it. I didn't like it. see it for yourself. A lot of people talking about it. It's going to get some Oscar nominations, unfortunately, even though it shouldn't. I think Scorsese, I don't know if he should retire at this point. I don't know what he has left in the game, what he has in the tank. I don't know at this point. De Niro's taken any movie he could have just for a paycheck. Pacino, is just Pacino in every movie. And Pesci unretired for this. Unfortunately, I don't know why. He should go back to retirement. Go back to Goodfellas, watch that over and over again. If you had to sit down and watch a movie right now, watch Goodfellas. Remember these guys in their prime when they were good, when they were great. Watch Heat with Pacino and De Niro. The Irishman sucked, so I will give you another review tomorrow because I saw two movies, The Irishman and Knives Out, shot locally in the state of Massachusetts. That'll be my review going up tomorrow morning on the T-Podcast. That is it. Hans Zimmer's coming in. Where to find me on Instagram, 2 accounts, the_T_podcast for all the podcast related stuff. T-Blog, T-B-L-A-W-G for some amazing picks. I got some primo content up there with the winter, the snowstorm we had in Boston. Go check it out. I put a bunch of pictures up there. You're going to love it. Mwah. Unlike Scorsese, I fucking deliver with bomb ass content. I will never bore you. I will also never do a fucking podcast that goes 3.5 hours. The balls to do a movie for 3.5 hours that sucked so much on this guy. Find me on Twitter, T-Blog, all one word. Facebook, the T-Blog page, still up there. And of course, you can reach me by email. Email me, DM me. Maybe you disagree. I'm doing a poll. I'm doing more polls now on Instagram. I'm going to do a poll on this movie, on this review. Trust me. You can email me, t@t-blawg.com. And of course, you can find me on T-Podcast 2 to 3 times a week. I'm here solo, 2 movie reviews this week. May get one with B-Lo. Depends where he is. He's probably in another country yet again. So at least 2, possibly 3. And of course, you can find me the place to start it all, tblog.com. 400 episodes. 124 podcasts now, I believe. I give you the content. That's what I do. Until next time, always take it there.